The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
The devotees come here to participate and celebrate Lord Krishna's birth. When we celebrate Lord Krishna, and there's a lot of singing and dancing, because that's what he used to do when he was younger. The priest comes out and actually brings a live baby in a cradle, carrying him on his head, depicting how it truly happened with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna was carried in a cradle by his father on his head to safety, to keep him safe from the evil king.
That's Nidhi Singh of Rajdhani Mandir Temple in Chantilly, Virginia, speaking about a Hindu ceremony called Krishna Janmashtami. We're going to be talking about that Hindu ceremony celebrated during the month of August with Pastor Stanley Stanish here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're with you live this Monday afternoon, August the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Dr. Danny Faulkner will join us. The host of Cosmos, Neil deGrasse Tyson, was speaking recently about the Big Bang Theory, and in particular, part of the Big Bang Theory, inflation. And he spoke rather confidently, not only of the theory itself. He says it's all the observations are ticking off the boxes of observations that would be predicted by the theory. It seems to be holding up. He calls it a scientifically valid theory. But he also glosses over some recent research and some findings by a group called Bicep 2. We've talked about it here on the program, that were rushed to print, rushed to the media, and then later the research team had to back off and say, you know, what we said we'd proven, we hadn't really truly proven. That's something that was missing from Neil deGrasse Tyson's recent comments on the Big Bang Theory. We'll hear what he had to say, and we'll get a reaction from Dr. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis. Then we'll talk with Suzanne Venker about the importance of fathers. Katy Perry, the big pop singer, has made a comment recently in an interview with Rolling Stone that she doesn't need a dude. She means a man. She doesn't need a man. If she doesn't find one, she can go on and be a mother without one. Now, that's pretty common sentiment among the starlets and the glitterati, but I'd like to know what Suzanne Venker has to say about that. And then Pastor Tom Baker will join us on this Monday afternoon. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with him, Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the Hindu ceremony called Krishna Janmashtami, Pastor Stanish Stanley. He is pastor of the Indian Evangelical Lutheran Church, and he's a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanish, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. In fact, this is my third time, I suppose, so thank you for having me. It's really nice to be with you on Issues Etc.
Pastor Stanish, the parallels that some might note between the Hindu story of Krishna, the reincarnation of Krishna, and the incarnation of Jesus, some people might note some parallels there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. In fact, see, one of the things that I think we should keep in mind is that Hinduism, when we talk about Hinduism as it is seen today, most of the commentators and most of the scholars and also many of the believers, and I'm sure the program that you quote also kind of captures that, points out to the evolutionary aspect of Hinduism. It's always constantly kind of evolving. That's the nice word that is put out there, that it is constantly evolving. People are kind of knowing more about God, and people are and believers kind of see different aspects of God every time, and they are highlighted every time in different traditions that are there within Hinduism. But having said that, and one key element to that is the idea of or the concept of reincarnation. And when we keep the lady in the program, PBS program that you kind of did quote at the beginning, also points out that Hinduism has these, they believe in a monotheistic God, but then it has different forms. And she just goes on to quote the philosophical points of Hinduism, where she says that there is Brahma the creator, Vishnu the preserver, and Shiva the destroyer. And Krishna is seen as the incarnation, the reincarnation of the second element, that is the preserver element of the Hindu deity, that is Vishnu. And Vishnu, it seems, traditions say that it has 9 avatars. So avatars meaning the reincarnations. And over here, Krishna is supposedly the 8th avatar, the 8th reincarnation of Vishnu, which is taking place. The traditional way in which it is seen is that Vaishnavism, or the worship of the ultimate principle of God in Hinduism through the worship of Vishnu, sees this element of a continuous kind of a struggle between good and evil in this world, and so the God Vishnu has to reincarnate every time in order to destroy evil and to settle dharma, that is a perfect duty. So Krishna is seen as that God who takes the 8th avatar to destroy evil that was there during his time, and to preserve or to sustain and to bring back dharma, that is a good duty, or the right way of living, the right way in which the worldly principle should carry on, the world should go on. Whereas when you look at Christianity, that is not the case. Jesus does not come over here just to destroy evil and then goes back, and then the next person comes in, and then he goes back, and the third person comes in. That is not the way we understand Christianity. There is no reincarnation of Jesus again and again. Rather, it's an incarnation of God coming in human flesh to destroy sin and evil once and for all, and to set things right again, the relationship between, the broken relationship between created beings, created and the Creator, back again. So that is the main difference that one should keep in mind when we talk about the differentiation or looking at both Vishnu or Krishna and Jesus Christ.
Pastor Stanish, if Krishna is said to be the 8th avatar, 8th in reincarnation, do Hindus believe that there has or will be a 9th then?
Oh, yes. Yes, the 10th one, sorry. The 10th one is supposed to be the avatar Kalki. This is supposed to be the Kali Yuga, the end of age, where everything is going to be destroyed. Everything is going to come to an end. And then when this avatar of Vishnu comes, so evil will completely be destroyed and the world will come to an end. So that is the understanding. So they are looking out. They are moving into the Kali Yuga, that is the last days, and this is yet to come. So that is the understanding of within this brand of Hinduism that people say is, some people say this is the real Hinduism. Some would say no. Shaivism is a equal brand of Hinduism. So there's a lot of complexities involved. But having said that, this is a very dominant tradition within Hinduism. And the understanding is that when the Kali Yuga comes and when Kalki, the last avatar, comes in, the end is going to happen.
Is there evidence for an actual historical figure that was Krishna, because they seem to be celebrating in this Janmashtami, or the Krishna Janmashtami, an actual birth, or at least it appears from my perspective that they're celebrating an actual birth. Do they believe that there's an historical figure of Krishna?
Well, scholarship is divided on it, but of course there is always talk about a historical figure called Krishna, and this particular celebration, the Krishna Janmashtami, the way we would pronounce it, Janmashtami, is basically a remembrance, so to speak. No, there is no doubt about that. Krishna is seen as belonging to a particular caste or a community in India, the Yadavs. The Yadavs were supposed to be people who took care of cows. And keep in mind that the Hindus kind of venerate the cow, and you can very well kind of draw your own connections to find out how Krishna is venerated in such a big way, mainly because of his association with the cow, or maybe the cow is venerated in such a big way because of its association with Krishna as God. So yes, there is this talk about a real Krishna figure who lived during the BC's 3000 and all that, and who predates Jesus Christ and other many other figures, charismatic figures in the history of the world. And the Hindus believe that he was somebody who kind of came and destroyed the demon king who was ruling over a particular kingdom. Gets back his kingdom and also establishes a kingdom on the western side of India called Dwarka, the Gujarat, the state of Gujarat, from where our present Prime Minister of India comes, from that particular state of India. So there is a huge tradition, especially on the western side, on the northern side of India, where Krishna is seen as a huge Krishna has a huge following, and there are always kind of attempts made, especially in light of the Hindu kind of revivalism and fundamentalism that is taking place in India, that historical figures or godly figures are attributed, or at least sought to be attributed, with a lot of historical, real-life connections.
You mentioned this before. You made mention of some of the explanation of the Hindu view of deities. Here again is Nidhi Singh of the Rajdhani Mandir Temple in Chantilly, Virginia, explaining the Hinduism belief in one and yet more than one God.
In Hinduism, we believe in one God. However, our one God has several forms. Brahma, who's the creator, Vishnu, who is the preserver, and Shiva, who's the destructor of all evil. Lord Krishna is a reincarnation of Lord Vishnu. The teachings that Lord Krishna imparted, I can take from them and incorporate into my life and find hope, guidance, spirituality, peace, comfort.
I want to deal with a couple of things there, if we could, Pastor Stanish. First of all, we're dealing with from kind of the Christian perspective. They say that they believe in one God, but that's a different sense than, say, Christian monotheism. It sounds like it's still a form of polytheism. I've even heard at one time, I know Hinduism remarkably complex, but I've even heard that Hinduism really believes in millions of gods. How do we reconcile all these things?
Right. Well, that's the beauty. Well, that's the beauty of Hinduism. Please excuse me for laughing over here, but I was born and brought up in Mumbai, where the Dahi Handi, that is the during Krishna Janmashtami, they kind of make human pyramids, tie a big rope on the top of buildings, between two buildings or two what you would call apartments over here, condominiums. You would have two adjacent kind of condominiums, and you would have tie a big string, hang a big pot of buttermilk, and these human pyramids of people would kind of climb up, and then break the thing, and it would be celebrated in such a big way. That day would be a great celebration of fun, laughter, joy, and all that. But at the same time, Hinduism is, as and I kind of alluded to this by saying that it's always constantly evolving. So whenever new elements crop up, they kind of find a way to kind of put a fix on things and get them into the Hindu philosophical strand. To explain how this varied religious experience that is there in India is somehow kind of held together in one category called as Hinduism, with how the lady spoke with you know, with her pointing out that, hey, we believe in one God. So to be very fair and frank, yes, of course, we could say that they believe in one God, but this one God, really on the ground, people kind of have their own gods whom they believe in. And then there is a there has constantly been this attempt to kind of connect those folk gods or goddesses or village gods and goddesses to some kind of another, you know, higher god, which is there in the dominant strand of Hinduism. And they kind of marry the gods to the women. The goddesses are married off to the male gods to say that, oh, okay, this is a consort, and so she is also one kind of this particular god that is there. And that that kind of connects to what you kind of pointed out, that there are, you heard that there are millions of gods. There are, in fact, 330 million gods, according to the research that has been conducted to find out how many gods are really there in Hinduism. But the but yes, there is this distinction that we have to keep in mind, that Hinduism, the way we see it today, the way our beloved friend who, a Hindu friend who kind of spoke through the PBS interview, points out, that brand of Hinduism has evolved as a result of the dialogue which took place between Christianity and Hinduism, especially in the late 19th century, 20th century, when 19th and 20th century, when the British ruled over India. So there was this constant, and especially when the Muslims, when Islam kind of took over India somewhere around the 13th century onwards, all these varied religious experiences kind of tried to address the issue of this monotheistic God, because everybody were having their own brands of gods and goddesses and religions, like the Vaishnavism that we are talking about right now, the worship of Lord Vishnu and his reincarnations, of which Krishna being one, was one brand of religiosity in itself. Shaivism, which she mentions as the destroyer God, is in fact is itself a very big religious tradition. And to be very fair, in fact, I was also under the impression that only Vishnu takes reincarnation in various forms. But to be very frank, what we find is that even Shiva takes various incarnations and forms. And that is not kind of highlighted that much. But in popular practice, you will always we come across that in our Hindu festivals and everything. Back home in India. So there is this attempt to kind of point out that, yeah, do we believe in one God? Because Hindus have always tried to kind of look at other religions and learn from it and correct some of their own problems that they have in their religion. And this particular way of expressing Hinduism as a monotheistic religion is heavily drawn from its interaction with Christianity. And they kind of, just like the Christians have Trinity, you know, the understanding of Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Hindus, especially in the 18th, 19th, and 20th century, came up in their debates, in their dialogue, and in their theologizing, they came up with their own Trimurti, you know, the tri-form, the tri-Godhead, and that is Brahma as creator, Vishnu as preserver, and Shiva as a destroyer. But in earlier Hinduism, the Vedic period, which is the first period of Hinduism, there were so many other gods, like Indra, for example, the god of rain, Rudra, and all these gods have kind of slowly receded to the background as a consequence of this attempt to kind of monotheize Hinduism.
Finally, then, the other thing that Nidhi Singh said in that cut was that she is able to take the teachings of Lord Krishna, as she says, and from them incorporate them into her life, find hope, guidance, spirituality, peace, and comfort. What is that? What is the hope that the Hindu has, and how is it contrasted with the hope of Christianity? About a minute and a half here, Pastor Stanish.
Yeah, let me be very quick over here. In fact, Krishna is known for his treatise, especially in the war between the the great war which took place, the Mahabharata, one of the epics of Hindu religion, between the Kauravas on the bad side and Pandavas on the good side. Krishna kind of stands with Pandavas and especially talks to its main kind of archer or main warrior, Arjuna, and he talks about certain precepts. And a key thing that he mentions is the nishkama karma. That means without attachment, do your duty. So you've got to kill maybe some hundreds and thousands of people, but don't look at who they are. Look at the duty. The duty is to do what is right. Don't look at the person. Just do it. Because Arjuna was fighting against his own brothers and sisters and had to kill them to kind of win the war. So that is one aspect of Krishna which is remembered. The other thing is what Krishna points out is the bhakti, true devotion. So I think what Nidhi is, the lady is pointing out over there, is your devotion, your complete devotion to God is what will give you peace, what will get you ultimate moksha, break you from the cycle of death and birth and rebirth, and conjoin you or connect you to the ultimate reality. So for Hindus, that is basically, at least from in the philosophical strand, that is the basis. That is their hope. That is their look. That is what they look out to. And for Christians, we are not celebrating Christmas which is many times kind of seen almost as an equivalent of Janmashtami, where Krishna is known more for his mischievous side, his romantic love, his compassionate, friendly side, and all that. And that is kind of celebrated, especially during Janmashtami. Whereas in during Christmas, that is not what we look at, what we identify with, or that is not what we remember. We look at our Lord and Savior, who came to die for our sins, and that's what we remember and connect Jesus, our Lord, with. Whereas for Hindus, it is a different way of approaching, of seeing, of looking at life that is ahead of them, and Krishna kind of stands as that personality or that God who can, through ultimate devotion to this God, you could, attain moksha or attain liberation.
Pastor Stanley Stanish is pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanish, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
When we come back, Dr. Danny Faulkner will join us. We'll talk about some recent comments made by Cosmos host Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Big Bang Theory. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.